Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. This is David Clark. I greet you again today. Welcome to The Truth Ministries. So glad to be with you. I hope you had a wonderful week last week. Hope you are up this morning getting ready to go to the house of God and have somewhere to worship. If not, you're always welcome. Bethel Holiness Church, 5032 Woodcrest Road, Jacksonville, Florida, right behind Ernie Palmer Toyota. You're always welcome there. Church starts at 10 o'clock this morning for Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship. I just wanted to give that a shout out today. So I want to handle one other item of business before we get into the word real quick. Not a lot of preliminaries. A very special birthday wish this morning goes out to Sister Margaret Mixon. I do want to mention that she's not a blood relative of mine, but she's just like a sister to me. And so we love her very dearly. Want to wish her a very happy birthday today. So happy birthday, Sister Margaret. All right, we're going to get right into the word today. I announced this on Facebook a couple of days ago that I was going to be sharing something this morning that the Lord showed me on Wednesday night. The Lord showed me Wednesday night. Now, I do not claim to have visions. I do not claim to have prophecies. I do not tell people that the Lord said to me this, that, or whatever, unless the Lord absolutely tells me something to say. I take that very seriously. But what I'm going to tell you this morning, the Lord showed me Wednesday night. I don't know if you want to call it a vision. I don't know if you want to call it just, he just showed me something. But we were sitting in church Wednesday night. The pastor was preaching. I was sitting in the choir behind where he stands, and I was thinking about what he was preaching and looked down at my Bible, and this is what the Lord showed me. So we're talking this morning about misplaced resistance. Misplaced resistance. I'm going to read a scripture here, and then I'm going to get into what the Lord showed me, and I'm going to try to describe this for you as best I can. James 4 and 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. James chapter 4, verse number 4. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." Very strong language to start out. "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Again, very strong language. "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Verse number 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." I'm going to be reflecting back to these scriptures all throughout this morning, and I want to share with you what I told you the Lord laid on my heart Wednesday night. We're talking about misplaced resistance. Misplaced resistance. Now, James is talking here about how that whenever you resist the devil, he will flee from you. But he has a couple of adjectives, a couple of things that he calls the people that he's speaking to. He has a couple of ways he describes, and it's strong language. Listen to how he says this. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? For whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." There are no two ways about this morning. I know that a lot of folks that listen to the broadcast are church-going people. I understand that. I know people that watch on Facebook. A lot of them are church-going people. But I do know for a fact that there are folks that tune in and listen all around this world and on Facebook that are not church-going people. So you forgive me if I try to make everything as basic as possible today. I want to make sure that the viewer and the listener, everyone that is hearing me today, understand what Brother David is trying to say. Because the Bible clearly says that if you are a friend of the world here is talking about anything that is not of God. The world can refer to the old nature, the old man, what you used to be before God saved you. The world could be talking about compromise. It could be talking about going back on your convictions and going back on your beliefs or changing the word of God to apply to your situation. The term the world could mean a lot of things. But basically what we're talking about here is anything that is not the word of God. It is the world. Anything that's not of God is the world. You cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. You have to choose one, and you're going to serve one. And to not choose is to make a choice. You understand? If you don't, you say, well, I'm just not going to serve either one. You've already decided, because you have to choose to serve God. And if you don't, you've already chosen to serve the devil. That's just the only way there is to say that. So I want to encourage you this morning to examine yourself. You must make a decision today who you're going to serve. Now let's get to Wednesday night. Pastor Capps was preaching and doing a wonderful job, but I had looked down at the scriptures and this thought came to my mind. I saw in my mind, I had looked up towards the roof of our church and it looked as if, you know what the Colosseum looks like? Over in Rome, the Colosseum there has got walls, but there's no roof on it. And I saw where that I looked up. And it looked like there was the sanctuary. I could see down at the bottom of the pews and everything, but there was no roof on it. And there was people all along the walls looking down on what was going on inside the church. And then I could see all through the church where the pews were filled with members. And they were wrestling and they were warfaring and they were being tormented by spirits from hell. I could see how they would have a couple of ladies running around and they had a hold of them by the hair, dragging them around, and they had a hold of some of them, and you could see their hands were placed on certain areas causing physical affliction. You can see their hands like on their minds causing mental distress and turmoil. You could just see all different scenarios how the devil is causing turmoil in the church. And I watched with one hand as the people would warfare and would try to get free from the forces of darkness. And then I looked up, and on the edge of all the walls around that arena, around looking down on that sanctuary, I could see angels perched up on the walls. And I could see them with swords drawn and with shields out, and they were ready for warfare. They were ready to do battle. And I watched some of them as they tried to advance against the powers of darkness. And all of a sudden, the church members, the folks that were in the church, they began to hold their hands up to the angels as if to say no, as if to say, I don't need your interference. I don't want your intervention. As if to say, I can handle this on my own. Well, I was very confused, as you can imagine, as to why that this situation was playing out in my mind. How that the powers of darkness are coming against the church, how the church is fighting and they're struggling for their own survival, and the kingdom of heaven is trying to intervene, and the church members were working against God's kingdom, God's angels who were dispatched to help. They were telling them, no, you stand by. I don't want your intervention. They had one arm warring with the devil and the other arm resisting the kingdom of God. Let me explain this for you this morning, how the Lord has kind of opened my eyes to this, dealing with this scripture in the fourth chapter. chapter of the book of James, talking about how that if you are a friend of the world, the Bible says in verse number 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I watched as these church folks, and I don't recognize their faces. I don't know who they are. I do not believe that God showed me this for one individual. I'm not a pastor of a church. God hasn't put me in that position, but I do know that you all are my congregation today, and you all are the ones I'm sharing it with, because the body of Christ in this last hour is definitely facing warfare on every front. But you listen to Brother David this morning. I believe that what God has shown me is that the reason why we're not getting our prayers answered, and the reason why we are not seeing heaven intervene, and the reason why things are beginning to last as long as they are, and I'm talking to Brother David as well, don't you think that I'm being condescending? Don't you think I'm being hard and judgmental? Because I need God to move in my life just like you need him to move in your life. And I believe wholeheartedly that the reason we are not seeing God move in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, in our families, the way that we want to, is because with one hand we are fighting the warfare, and with one hand we're trying to keep the devil at bay, but with the other hand we are resisting help from heaven. We are holding back the answers to prayer. We are our own self causing our prayers not to be answered. How is that? Listen to the scripture. It says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot entertain the enemy. You cannot entertain the devil. You cannot entertain the world and all the results of the world and still be a friend of God this morning. I know that this is going to rub against the grain. I know that this is not going to sound popular, but you absolutely cannot be friends with this world and still inherit the kingdom of God. There are two sides, and you have to choose, and if you don't choose, you have made your choice. You can only serve one, and God is a jealous God. He is not going to share you. He's not going to share his glory. He will not share your allegiance. He wants all of you this morning. Now, I got to thinking about this revelation, thinking about this that the Lord showed me. Why would someone try to withstand help from heaven when they have been praying for intervention? Why would someone? And I got to thinking about some things here, and I'm just going to share you what the Lord's laid on my heart. I hope that you understand that Brother David loves you, and I hope that you love me back. But I want you to know that I've got to tell you the truth this morning. I say this a lot. This is the Truth Ministries. And if I don't tell the truth, I'm not doing it any justice. If I don't declare this whole word of God, I'm not doing my job this morning. I must tell you the truth. And I want you to know that a lot of folks are warring against things in this life, but for God to intervene and to deliver them out of that, it would take away their pet. It would take away their things that they enjoy. Yeah, they don't like the attacks from the enemy, but they like to enjoy all the things that keeps them under the attack. Let me explain that. A lot of folks don't want God to deliver them from the things that they're addicted to because they enjoy the things that they are addicted to. A lot of folks pray, well, I want God to help me. I want God to deliver me. But when God tries to do anything, they push his hand back because they don't want to give up the things of this world. God won't deliver folks because they don't want deliverance. You hear me this morning. A lot of folks will stand up and say, I want to be free. I want to be delivered. I want to be closer to God. But when God tries to draw them closer, they begin to see that the closer you get to God, the less and the less you are going to want of this world, friends. The closer that you get to Calvary, the more you're going to understand that Calvary is a place of death. Calvary is a place where self must die and only Christ can live. There is no compromise in this place. You must be willing to lay it all down. God cannot do anything with a double-minded man. You hear me today. Let's read on down here to what he said. Verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Listen to me. The reason why a lot of folks are facing the opposition they are, and it seems like it's gone on so long, is because they know exactly what it's going to take in order to get victory in their life. They know exactly what it's going to take for God to intervene. They know exactly what it's going to take for God to have the victory in their life. Listen to me. It's going to take us resisting the devil and he will flee. But listen to what he said here. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now listen, he's not talking about in the physical today. He's talking about friendship with the world. He's talking about folks that used to be sold out to God and they have no longer been faithful to God. They've allowed relationships and friendships to arise, not with people perhaps, but with the world. They've allowed the world to flirt with their heart. They've allowed the world to influence them, and they've gone out and they have given themselves over, and they have tainted the word of God and the relationship with God. They have caused it to be polluted because of this sin in their life. Listen, we have committed adultery on Christ this morning. We are the bride of Christ, and when we go back to the world and pick up things and partake in things and allow ourselves to be given over to things that God in his word says is forbidden or is not approved, we have cheated on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me this morning. It says, you adulterers or adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God. You say, well, Brother David, I'm not involved like you say I'm involved. If you're a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God this morning. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? It means you may not partake in everything that the world partakes in, but you also don't stand against everything that God stands against. I know what it's like to be acquainted with people. I don't necessarily agree with their lifestyle. I have to love them. I have to show them godly character, but I also cannot be their friend. Listen to me this morning. Brother David's trying to help somebody. There are people and there are activities that the church has absolutely no business taking part in, but yet we will hang out and be friends with anybody and anything, and we will use the excuse that we are Christians and must show them the love of God. Well, friends, Jesus showed the love of God, but he did not partake in sin and ungodliness. He did not go. Listen, a lot of folks will say, well, I go in the bars and the clubs to evangelize. Hogwash. What's preventing you from getting out in the streets and evangelizing? Catch them before they get in there. I don't have to go into the belly of hell in order to let Jesus shine his light of the truth through me. I don't have to compromise my faith. I don't have to disgrace the name of God. I don't have to make a mockery out of holiness just to get somebody to hear me. Listen to me. I cannot be a friend of the world this morning. This is never going to be popular. You understand? This life is never going to be popular. You are going to stand out in a crowd. You are going to be the topic of discussion. You are going to be the subject of rumors. You will be talked about. You will be made fun of. You will be laughed at. You will be scorned. But it is worth it, my friends, to be called a friend of God. It is worth it this morning. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen to me this morning very closely. The reason why heaven has not broken through in a lot of folks' situation is because with one hand we push back against the enemy, but with the other hand we hold the answer to prayer at bay by our unwillingness to let God fully intervene in our life. Let me read you some things I wrote down here. We'll try to get all this in before my time is up. Spiritual adultery. Think about this now. It's time consuming. The time that I would normally spend with God in prayer, the time that I would normally give attention to God and love on God and let God love on me and learn in His Word, I've begun to give my attention to other things now that consume my time, consume all of my energy, consume all of my finances, consume all of the things in my life. I no longer expend those things for the kingdom of God, but I begin to flirt with the enemy, flirt with the world, and my time and attention goes to those things. The giving of affection. I've said this before. If you are familiar with the school of Christ, you've heard me say that anything we do that takes worship away from God, the devil collects that as worship. What does that mean? That means that not just in the church house when we don't lift our hands and worship God, but in our daily lives in living for God. Anything we do that takes away from our lives being holy and blameless and a worship unto God, our lives being a sacrifice unto God, anything that we do that takes away from that is robbing God of His due worship, and the enemy collects that as worship unto himself. Now, verse number 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of people today are in attacks. You can't tell me, Brother David, this ain't happening, because I got too many people I know that are in the middle of it. Listen to me. I know people that are in the middle of it, so you can't tell me that it ain't the truth. It's the Word of God. I know it's the truth. Listen to me. A lot of folks are in the middle of terrible situations today. And I know we're going to go through things as Christians. I know we're going to face the fire. I know we're going to be tried. I'm not debating that this morning. But a lot of folks go around in circles in the wilderness, and God's trying to lead them into Canaan. But because of their own disbelief, because of their own rebellion, because of their own negligence, because of their own lust for the world, because of the pride of their life, different things, you name it, because of that, they are still wandering around in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the fire. Yet when God tries to intervene, they hold Him at bay. There's something in their life that they are not willing to submit to the Word of God. I want to tell you this morning, my pastor, before he went on to glory, he used to say all the time that this life is a life of total commitment. There is nothing less than total commitment when you talk about being born again. Everything belongs to God. Verse number 7, the first word in this verse is the problem with people not hearing from God. Submit yourselves. Submit. Submit yourself. What does it mean? To relinquish control and authority. Submit. You know, we teach our children to submit to their parents. I teach my children, they are to be in submission to mine and their mama's authority. They understand that if you come against that authority, you're going to face the wrath of daddy. That's the way it goes. If you come against my authority is not based on me. My authority as the father is based on the Word of God. I'm the man of the house. My wife is their mother. We have the authority in that home. And if my kids challenge that authority, and sometimes those little things can come against you, and you have to put them in their place and remind them of who mama and daddy is. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. The devil will try to get you. Listen, he's been doing this since time began. Why do you think he was cast out of heaven in the first place? Why do you think he wasn't the only one? He had some followers with him. Why do you think that is? He's constantly recruiting. Well, God didn't say that. God didn't mean it that way. God's surely not going to judge you for this. Surely it's all right to partake in a little bit of this. Surely it's all right to let your guard down. Much of the church is dead today and dried up and useless because they believe believe the lie of the enemy that they can back up, that they can let down, lower your standard, ease up on your prayer life. It doesn't take what it used to take. Things have changed. This is 2019. Friends, I want to tell you something. This may sound very hard. It may sound very coarse coming from Brother David, but I love you, and I'm telling you because it's for our own good. The closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, it's not going to get looser. I believe we're going to need to get tighter and tighter and tighter. Why is that? Because the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more that the enemy with a vengeance is going to be trying to pull us out of the fold this morning. Flirtation with the world, causing us to get our eyes off of Christ, causing us not to love him like we once loved him, causing us to be thinking about things we got no business entertaining. Listen to me this morning. The devil's one priority is to cause us to fall out of the good graces of God Almighty. That's his job. He's a devil. Heard somebody say one time, he's a very good devil. He's good at his job. He's been doing it a long time. He has a lot of experience. The closer we get to the coming of God, the more vigilant that you and I are going to have to be. The time for vicariousness, the time for loose living, the time for us being asleep spiritually is over. Friends, Jesus is coming. It's time for us to wake up and realize this is not about my problem with somebody else. This is not about my problem with this or that or whatever. On a personal level this morning, it is David Clark's responsibility to get David Clark in that rapture and stand before God with the blood of Jesus applied to my life. It is my responsibility today. I cannot ride anybody's coattail. I cannot depend on anybody else. I and I alone am going to stand before God on judgment day, and he is going to judge me according to my life. Friend, this morning, it is too serious for us to discount the word of God. It's too close for us to give up now. It's too serious of a thing for us to back up on this word. If you've never lived right, it's time to live right. If you've never forsaken your old nature, it's time to forsake your old nature. If you've never given up the things that God's dealt with you about for years and years, it's time to throw them in the garbage. If God said take it off, you better take it off. If God said put it on, you better put it on. If God says don't go, you better stay. If God says go and preach, you better obey God. If God deals with you to pray, it's time to fall on our face before God. Whatever I have got to do to submit to him, whatever this word says, I've got to yield to it. I must be found worthy and accounted whenever he calls for me, friends. This word of God has no room for compromise. Verse number 4 is lingering in my mind. I keep going back to it, but I got to reference it one more time before we're out of time today. The Bible said in verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I think about this. He did not even go as far as to name what the adultery was. He just said friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. You know, in the human conversation, and on the flesh side of this, we refer to adultery as to having an affair or doing something immoral in a physical sense with someone else. But the Bible said here, in the spiritual sense of this, he called them adulterers and adulteresses just for being friends with the world. Man, what does it mean, Brother David? It means I can't have no love or affection in my heart for this world, regardless. No matter what, at all costs, I must resist the devil. I must resist him. What does it mean to resist here? I got just a minute or two left here. Resist means to withstand the action or the effect of. To resist means to withstand the action or effect of. Many of us are not seeing God move in our life because we are embracing and befriending the adversary of our soul, and he has control of us. I'm out of time this morning. I gotta go. We're gonna continue this next week. I love you. God bless you. Let's get to church today. Find somewhere to worship. You're welcome at Bethel Holiness Church if you don't have a home church. God bless you. I love you. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.